Welcome back to another episode of We Are Challenged, where Liz and I discuss everything about MTV's The Challenge Battle of the X's. This week, we're going to talk about the reunion episode, and this will be our last podcast for at least a little while.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about the reunion episode, Liz?
The problem with it, I think, right off the bat, is that there wasn't a lot of drama in the actual season. And whenever you have a reunion show, I tweeted about this and a lot of people answered me and retweeted it, that this challenge, in my opinion, had the least drama of any challenge on record. So once you get to a reunion show, you either have to bring up new drama or you have to rehash things that happened during the season, and there just wasn't a lot to talk about. So I thought it was a little bit boring, but I mean, I love watching the people in kind of an organic setting where it's hard to kind of edit around what they're saying. What did you think about it?
I thought it was boring, to put it kindly. You're right, there wasn't a lot of stuff that they didn't have a lot of material to work with, but I feel like there is a solution to that, is they could have enlarged the cast of the reunion. They have six teams or seven teams.
That was definitely weird and problematic.
Because the thing is, realistically, the most entertaining people in the reunion would have been Jasmine and Tyree, I think, would have been fun to watch because those two probably still hate each other. Leroy and Naomi would have been fun to watch.
And just Troy Weston.
Like, you need Wes. Like, this is the other thing. Like, I mean, I was talking about getting Wes off early on these challenges, but if he's not going to be in the reunion episode, I like the fights Wes starts in the reunion episode.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I agree with them not taking, like, the few very early people onto the show. Wes, I'm kind of indifferent to. But Abram and Cara Maria would have been good because Abram clearly didn't want to be on the show. Like, he's such a kind of like bratty, whiny type that I think he would just create something and they would have a fight, or I don't know. I'm surprised they weren't on it, and I think it might have been that he actually said no.
I'm kind of curious if he can even say no. He might not be able to say no.
Yeah, that's true.
Or maybe they asked him and he said, I don't really want to do it. And then they realized that he would just sit there and pout and not say anything.
Yeah.
Kind of like what Dunbar seemed to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also wasn't overly impressed with the host.
Me too. And I think that's an important thing to talk about.
Like, I understand why they go with The Miz. He's an ex-Real World guy. He's probably one of the more famous of the ex-Real World people with his, you know, he's a WWE superstar. But the problem with him is he's a very well-spoken, he's an engaging guy, but he was in character the whole time, and it felt like that kind of took, like, he was taking a little bit away from the episode itself, like from the stars of the show. He was, you know, doing his character, and it seemed like it didn't quite work, I don't think, in this context.
Well, not knowing his character per se, I don't know anything about his WWE life. I really did not find him to be a good host. It, for me, number one, it seemed like he was just a friend of everybody, and so they were just kind of carrying on a regular, like, bro-like conversation. Whereas Maria, who I actually missed, I mean, I don't love Maria, she's kind of cheesy, but she's more kind of detached from the show. She just seems like she's more of a host. Like, she knows what's going on, but she kind of keeps it professional. And he was just laid back and being really goofy. I don't know. He annoyed me a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't like him on the show.
I feel like he's better maybe in, like, the after show.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know? And wasn't he doing some of the after shows?
I think he was. I didn't watch all the after shows because, well, some of them didn't record or whatever. But the one thing I found interesting, when they're going around and they're recapping, and I just kind of was not really paying them attention, but the one thing I found really funny is when they were talking with CT and DM about, you know, why they got in so many fights, and CT was discussing about how he doesn't really like to talk, and that DM, all she does is like to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then DM proceeds to talk, I would say, more than anyone in the whole episode of the reunion. To the point where I was like, I totally understand what CT's saying. She does talk too much.
She was almost a little bit annoying.
Yeah, I would say a lot annoying, but
she's really hyper sometimes and really kind of loud, and she, like, it's true, she has like motor mouth. She can't stop talking when she starts. She kind of has an annoying voice too. I was generally annoyed by Diem on the reunion, but I found it interesting the part where everybody was kind of saying, like, you guys should be together, and they were both just sitting back and not saying anything, and I just wanted to get into both of their heads and, like, think, what is going on here? Like, CT said she doesn't want me back, so that makes me think that he would.
Yeah, I think that's CT just playing around. I'm pretty sure CT's... For all the indications on Twitter, CT has a long-term girlfriend back in Boston. And I think that's just CT trying to be cute and dodge the question by,
CT's girlfriend. Like, I mean, like, she's watching all this and, like, basically the whole world wants them to get back together. Even I do. I think they're cute. I mean, like, they clearly, like, are good together in one way. They just seem to kind of, they're so opposite. Like, somebody said Lady and the Tramp or something. Like, it's perfect. It's true. She's this kind of poised, maybe upper class kind of girl. She seems like a classy girl and very kind of well maintained. And then CT's this, like,
tramp.
Boston tramp. Yeah. Anyways, they're cute. I don't know. I guess that's over. I feel like this will be the end of that.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see if Diem comes back for any more challenges.
Yeah, she's very involved with her business, or not her business, but her charity, I think.
Yeah, like, she's not as dependent on doing this as someone like Johnny, who has made this his full-time career.
Yeah, and I think she went on this season to promote her charity mostly, because all her tweets, whenever she's involved in live tweeting during the show, it's mostly about, I think it's called MediGift, her charity that she's developed. And I've read some of her other tweets, and they're just kind of like, they're all about that. They're not about the real world or anything. But what were some of the other things that went on? I think the big one that really stood out was the Paula breakdown.
Yeah, that was
it's uncomfortable, to say the least.
I didn't know if I should laugh or just be awkward. I kind of was laughing a little bit just because, Ty, I'm not a huge Ty fan, but I don't think, I'm taking Ty's side on this. He didn't really do anything wrong. He pursued a girl who has in the past, had lots of fun on these challenges with various men. And she can claim she's in a relationship, but it's not like it didn't take him very long to break that relationship down. It's not like he pestered her for 6 months and then finally got her to break up with this guy. He got her drunk and they made out, like, and somehow she seemed to want Ty to be the bad guy, and I didn't like that part of the confrontation there, where Ty had to apologize, and I was like,
I'm going to go ahead and respectfully disagree 100%. I'm on Paula's side, which is weird. Well, not her side, but I just want to say this. When I was watching Ty make his kind of apology to her boyfriend, it made me sick. I think that he's totally insincere. I think that he knew what he was doing the whole time. He was using somebody who was very insecure, and he saw that in her, and he was just like, I want the world to see that I can, like, get someone to cheat, he wanted to look like this huge player. And then it's just being so kind of, he's being condescending. If I was the boyfriend watching that and he was just like, I hope you can be cool with it, man, like, I've been cheated on before. I didn't really mean to, it's, come on. Like, he knew the whole time what was going on. I'm not on Paula's side because she definitely made her own bed, like she said. But watching her there, I was just like, one thing I want to point out though is I think that Paula didn't wasn't trying to get Ty to apologize. She didn't seem like she actually, everybody else seemed like they wanted him to, but she, what she was saying is, you're all being very nice, but I did something bad.
Yeah.
Which is true. I mean, like, everybody, it would suck if it was, maybe, if you put yourself in her ex-boyfriend's shoes watching this, and everyone's kind of laughing it off. All the cast members are like, we're on Paula's side because we know her, and,
yeah,
you know, we support you, and she's crying and whatever. But, like, this guy was seriously wronged. Like, it was almost like a mockery of him, the whole thing. And watching Paula do it again when they replayed the clips of her, like, getting it on with him. It's gross. Come on.
My counterpoint to that is, if you're dating Paula, you probably met her at some bar.
Yeah, that's true.
And you know her past. You know she's going on a challenge. Like, I'm sorry. You have to kind of assume that, like, you have to know what you're getting into there. That being said, we don't know much about this guy. Like, for all, he could be a 23-year-old frat boy who she met at some party and, you know, yeah, and he knew everything about her. Or he could be, I mean, how old is Paula, do you think? She's 35, do you think? Or
maybe, on so, the I mean, way.
Could be like, he could be some, you know, 35, 40-year-old guy who has a regular job and doesn't really pay attention to MTV. So he could have just, maybe he met her on like a blind date. And so it's hard to say how bad she was to him before I know much about the guy himself. Because if the guy's like some pure innocent where he just, you know, happened to meet her and thought she's this nice girl, and I'd feel really bad. But I suspect it's more likely that he's some guy that she got drunk with at a bar, and that, you know, it was a relationship that he had to know wasn't necessarily going to, be a long-lasting one.
I guess.
You know, considering her past track record. And
I do want to, like, conclude by saying there's no excuse for that type of behavior.
Oh, no.
Like, the bottom line here, I think we can both agree on, is Paula is wildly, wildly insecure.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me really uncomfortable to watch her. And clearly, she was either, she looked like it was not just intoxication. She looked like she was on, like, downers or something, like some mix of medication and,
like, during the season or during the reunion?
The reunion. She was just, like, totally out of it. Totally.
Yeah, that part where she couldn't talk.
Yeah, it was bad.
I was like, that was just weird, but. And then there was a lot about Johnny and Camilla,
bored me a bit.
It boring because it was just like, well, we don't have anything, so let's talk about the one couple that had sex that we, you know, and aren't really together. And, you know, but I guess the question is, did Johnny play Camilla? What do you think?
Yes, I think so. I think she kept repeating things like, oh, Johnny, like, Johnny, who looks so cool and who's so perfect, and but, like, in real life, he's kind of a dick. Like, I think he plays up a really good persona on TV, but he's just one of those regular old asshole guys who, I think what Camilla's biggest issue is with him, and, like, if I can speak for her and what she's saying in the reunion, is that he likes her, but he won't admit it, and he won't kind of, like, he just has to play up this, like, player personality.
Yeah, he's too cool to like the girl.
Yeah, and so it makes her look like the one who's fawning over him, and I think she's not used to that. I think she's used to being kind of the standoffish girl.
Yeah.
But he is playing her up to be this girl who
stalked him and chased him, and
or just is just, like, in love with him and just, like, such a romantic, and I think it really pisses her off because she's kind of a more hard person than that. What do you think about it?
I think that sounds pretty accurate. I think Johnny was starting to, like, was playing her at the beginning, but does really care, did start to really like her, care for her. Like, she is gorgeous. Like, you know, she is gorgeous. She is a little crazy, but, you know, he probably needs a crazy girl. But the thing is, he probably wants to hang out with his boys and like his, you know, he doesn't want to couple up and, you know, you don't make, you know, it's like the whole Jersey Shore thing. You don't fall in love with the Jersey Shore, you know, it's like you don't fall in love with the Challenge House, you know? And so he has his guard up, but I want to get into all this stuff later, but future, you know, I was just thinking when you were talking was a great scenario for a future challenge, whether it's next one or a couple down the road, would be Camilla to hook up with someone else in the house with Johnny there.
Yeah.
And
he
so,
would
like,
go crazy.
I think he would. And I think he would be, I think at first he would be like, whatever, man, I don't care. But the minute she's like hooking up with, I can't, you know, hypothetical guy.
They bring some like Brazilian dude.
Or, you know, maybe Leroy.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. And that would be the moment he would flip.
Yeah.
Is just if he ever felt like she was straying or going somewhere else.
And I think Camilla's the smart enough type of girl who would do that.
Yeah, I do too. I'm surprised she hasn't done that already.
Well, maybe she has outside of the life, but it would be fun to see it actually on TV.
Yeah.
I did enjoy the part where Miz was asking them if they've joined the Glacier Club, which apparently they probably did. And
yeah, they said that they kind of implied that they did.
And the funny thing is, whenever there's people having sex or thought about having sex, it seems like Emily's the go-to voyeur who is always wants to hear it or always wants to see it. Maybe this is her sheltered life that like she like is kind of obsessed with seeing other people having sex or hearing them at least. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was kind of funny because she just gets so excited about the fact that somebody else is having sex.
I'm surprised that they did it in the tent. I mean, that's what they implied that it happened, but my God, that would be difficult. It's cold in those areas.
You're crazy, girl. You're telling me you haven't hooked up in a tent before?
Not in freezing cold temperatures.
Fair enough. And then, of course, we get, I mean, the one thing that I, you know, enjoyed was Mark basically foregoing his retirement in part because of Twitter. So because of all the Twitter love he's been getting.
And he has. He's developed like a Twitter empire.
Yeah, so we will be seeing more of Mark. I believe he said something to the effect of he started the challenge, he'll end it. Yeah. I don't know. I hope for Mark's sake he doesn't end the challenge because, you know, I kind of want the challenge to go on for long enough that Mark will need to retire.
Yeah, I didn't like that comment because it was implying that it was coming. Because he had said that this was his last one. I'm like, what does this mean? That it's over?
Yeah.
It can't be over. It's not over.
No. Well, they've already renewed it, so.
Perfect.
It actually, I read that this season actually had the highest challenge ratings ever.
I'm not surprised.
It beat out the Real World by a significant margin.
Amazing. I think it has a lot to do with social media because I have not seen so much activity about this show on Twitter or
and the contestants are generally very good about promoting stuff on social media because it helps their career. So I think that generally promotes the show. But let's get into, there's nothing else I really want to talk about with the reunion. I think we've done enough.
I feel like there was one other thing. Okay, one quick question.
Okay.
When Robin kept repeating that she's not crazy, what did you think? Do you think Robin's crazy?
No, I don't think Robin's crazy. I just don't think Robin should be in the house. I think Paula had it right, where Paula basically said, Robin, you shouldn't be in the house if you're not having fun. Mm-hmm. Like, realistically, if I was thrown in that house, the first time, like, I would have fun. Because it would be like, oh my God, I get to hang out with Johnny and Kenny and Evan and all these guys. Like, and it would be fun. But if I did it the second time, I'm like, you know, I'm 34. I can't drink every single day. I need my sleep or I'm grumpy. Like, if I was in that house and they were pulling pranks, like, I would get annoyed.
I'd be such like, a downer.
I know. I'd be like, guys, man, I just don't want to sleep.
I got
to
sleep.
I want to read my Harry Potter book by myself, not with you guys. You know, like, and I think it would wears on people. Like, if, you know, she has a kid. She doesn't go out drinking every night. So It probably gets, the thing is to keep entertaining that house, you have to drink a lot. You have to do stupid stuff that you do when you're in university. If you're 10, 15 years removed from that time period, you're not really going to want to do that. You're not going to want to play these games. You're going to be annoyed. And I think that's, Paula's just in a different frame of mind. She doesn't want to, she shouldn't be there. She should, you know, Yeah, I understand she needs the money, but she didn't win any money, so you know, she should just retire and not bother
Agreed.
going back. Like,
Agreed.
but yeah, I don't think she's crazy. I think she's just older. More,
Yeah.
I wouldn't say more mature. She's just at a different space in her life.
Yeah. No, I agree. So you were moving on to something. What
Oh, I
was
was just gonna say, let's move on to
it?
what we want from future challenges, whether it's the next one or future ones down the road. Like, what do you?
I feel okay. I have no real ideas, like no firm ideas, but I feel like there's something in the air that needs to be totally switched up because something about this particular cast for me is growing a little, I don't know, old, literally.
Stale, repetitive.
Maybe stale. There last season I was just like I loved it. Rivals was amazing.
Yeah, Rivals was really good.
This one, there's something that really got lost there. I don't know. I feel like we
I think the
need,
lack of sex.
you know what it might be? I think we need more catty girls because they create the most other, like the guys are really important.
Catty and
Kenny.
slutty girls.
Yeah, slutty girls. Yeah, Kenny is really important and like those kind of dominating males are for TV, but I think one thing that makes the world go round in terms of reality TV is catty girls and slutty girls. So we need Jen back, I think. We need, or people like that. We need people like Jen who stirs the pot and is just such a, so good at getting under people's skin in terms of like language. Like she's such
Yeah.
a good fighter and she really riles people up. And who is the other Jasmine's old partner?
Oh,
What's
Janae.
is that her name? Janae?
Janae.
John? Yeah.
I want
The
to say.
other, yeah. So she was also one of those kind of shit disturbers. And God, I could go on and on. There are a few that I can think of, but I think that needed to be in there, and it couldn't really because all the people that they matched everyone up with were kind of like the nice girls, like Sarah and Emily, and they're not particularly bitchy and they don't know how to manipulate through words, and I think that's important because it stirs up arguments, which in turn stirs up physical fights. What do you think?
I agree. I think the problem being is I'm just like looking at the last three seasons of The Real World, okay? So we have San Diego, and I think we all agree there's not really any interesting potential. Maybe Priscilla, but she's, you know, she didn't do much. I mean, I don't think there's any you know, there's any gold to mine there. Las Vegas, we've pretty much mined that. Like we've I mean, I think Las Vegas has turned into a great like challenge feeder
Yeah.
season, but you look at New Orleans. Not one person came out of New Orleans 2010 season.
Yeah.
Like, not one of them came out. I don't know if that was their choice. I don't know if the MTV was just like that was a bad season. We don't want any of them. So it's tough when you like when you go through and you know you have two bad seasons in a span of three that don't really produce much.
Yeah.
So it's you're really, you know, you're really forced to kind of, you know, pull like, you know, you like Sarah somehow has turned into this like star because you look back, you know, from Brooklyn, there wasn't really much besides Sarah, like female wise. I'm just talking female. Cancun, we've got a couple good ones from Cancun. DC, we had Emily, but like it's there's not been we need more what's her name? I'm trying to think of like some of the girls from like the Denver season had some.
Yeah, they had the best
They had
girls.
three crazy girls.
Jen is from Denver.
Brooke
Oh my God, Brooke.
and
Brooke was an
Nick
amazing challenge asset.
and
She wasn't a
Coley.
good competitor, but she made for such good TV. And Evelyn too, amazing. Just those like crazy girls.
Yeah.
There needs to be more crazy girls.
So maybe St. Thomas will produce some crazy girls. I mean.
And that's the thing, I think that like they need to concentrate more on the real world and really getting a great cast together. They really dropped the ball last season and Like, we can only hope that this season they'll have some people with, like, issues.
Daddy issues, preferably.
Daddy issues, yeah. Like, I mean, Las Vegas was a real winner, and they put together a cast of crazy people. And like we've said all along, I think the Heather Cooks of the world need to be on the challenge.
Yes, we need Heather Cook.
She is manipulative. She's athletic.
She's funny.
Hot. She's slutty.
She's slutty in both ways.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you gotta like the girl who says, you know, she seems to want it. She'll be willing. She walks around naked a lot.
She will backstab everyone and kind of just for fun.
Yeah.
And that is the important thing, is just girls who are totally bitchy, but nothing gets to them. And they'll just kind of like walk all over everybody and sleep with everyone. So
yeah, I would love to see Heather Cook in the next challenge season. I think she'd be.
And if what's her name from Vegas is on, Nani.
Nani would be great,
it would
too.
Be crazy as well. And she would be the type to manipulate, but she would be so sensitive and she would fight with everybody. That's what makes for good TV.
Maybe they need to have some sort of battle of the seasons or something, like Las Vegas versus Denver or something, because I'm trying to think who else had a good season. But that wouldn't be enough cast members. But
yeah, and the other problem with that is that there's a lot of new people tuning in, and they don't have any allegiance to the other, like the old people. But God, I want to see, like, you, Brooke. I've totally forgotten about Brooke this whole season and last season, but she's another, like, all-star in terms of, like, she has all the makings of a perfect reality TV editor.
What do you think about, I've heard this before, and I don't think it's actually a feasible option, but I think, you know, Bill Simmons' podcast, the BS Report, has talked about this, where they talk about putting Jersey Shore contestants on the challenge. And maybe even putting, like, other MTV reality contestants on the challenge and having, like, a Jersey Shore versus Real World challenge. Would that be something you'd want to see?
That would be weird. That'd be, like, a clash of worlds. Like, seeing... Yeah. That would just really freak me out. Seeing a bunch of, like, my favorite reality TV stars in the same room. That's kind of what happens on The Apprentice, I guess. But,
I do feel like the Jersey Shore people would lose pretty easily. Like they would.
I mean, the guys.
They're tiny though. Those guys.
Yeah.
They look big, but they're all four. They're all 5'6".
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, you know, Leroy would make them look like midgets.
Yeah, the girls would obviously get killed. well, maybe JWoww would be pretty competitive, but
yeah, JWoww could hold her own. But yeah, the other girls are just the meatball power would not be in effect, I don't think.
What other, like, reality show? All the MTV ones, like 16 and Pretty.
Oh, God. I've never watched those, so I don't know if there's any. I'm sure there are some crazy people there. I've heard Bad Girls Club is really good.
Oh, yeah. See, okay. That's a good thing to bring up, because I'm also an avid Bad Girls Club watcher.
Oh, you are?
I am, and I think.
Maybe we should do a Bad Girls podcast. I'll have to get into
maybe. but I think that. The producers of the challenge need to keep or watch a few more of those shows, because those are just constant craziness and constant battling, and because they're bringing on these girls that are so messed up, and that's so horrible. And the whole concept of Bad Girls Club, I have to say, is I'm really not in favor of. It's so despicable, and the girls are just horrible. But God, it's good TV, and it's just good to see.
Maybe they need to do like another Fresh Meat, where they bring in like 8 Bad Girls-esque girls, you know, and just have you know, do it like that, where it's like, because if they can't mine them from the real world, maybe they just need to pick them right off the street and because Bad Girls had several seasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they keep finding crazy girls, so they're out there. It's just a matter of...
They're out there. We're waiting for someone to pick them up.
Yeah.
For a reality show.
The other thing I was thinking about, like, the format. Like, I feel like the Rivals format worked, in a sense, because you had all these... You forced enemies to work together. the X's format didn't work because they're not really enemies. Like, yeah,
No,
they're
they
kind of
wanted to
enemies.
work together almost.
Yeah, but I look back at all the seasons, and the one I think I talked about this a couple times is it annoys me when player X or team X doesn't ever have to compete in an elimination challenge, and they get to go to the finals. That, it's basically like it's the Evan, Johnny, Kenny tactic where they get their numbers and they protect themselves so they don't ever have to go in. And the only season where they kind of had the loophole where they had to go in was the island, where they had to win that key. So they had to go in an elimination challenge to win the key. I think maybe we need the island too. Was there an island too? No, there wasn't. I feel like they need to maybe just do that one again. Like, I feel like that worked in some ways because you think about it, like, how many times is there a reference to somebody screwing somebody over from the island? Like, that.
Yeah, it's
Like,
true.
Paula is still annoyed about losing of the island. Like, Evelyn and Paula's relationship, that was their rivals' relationship based on that.
Yeah.
So maybe
So
they.
many things went down, and everyone was backstabbing each
Yeah,
other.
because there was so many there were different loopholes. Like, there was, you had that thing where I think three people went into an elimination challenge. The winner gets the key, is safe, and the other two can get voted off. So therefore, someone like Kenny could, he's up for grabs.
Yeah, agreed.
It kind of lets. I mean, it didn't work out in that season. Like, the big boys still won pretty much, but it does break down alliances. It does kind of,
Make it a bit more fair in terms of everybody having to participate.
yeah. So I don't know. I think I would like to see that. I think that'd be a fun. If they're gonna revisit an old format, I think that's the one that they should go to.
I think they should, just because they've done two in a row, of kind of a new themes.
Yeah.
They should probably go back to kind of like a one that worked and that they knew would work, and then maybe one day revisit Rivals. I don't think that Battle of the Exes should be revisited.
No, I don't think so either. I think that's a
It
one
wasn't
and
horrible, obviously. There are some really good moments in it. But it's just difficult because there aren't that many couples that are kind of like the token couples of the challenge. So I think they've run out in terms of doing that again. But yeah, I would like to see them revisit maybe the island, or I don't know, just one of those old, like, really, because they just worked back then. I'm like, I don't know, I sound like I'm dissing this season. It wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't that bad, but the problem I had was the finale was okay, the reunion was okay. There was a couple really good episodes in the middle,
Yeah.
but there wasn't enough drama, there wasn't enough fighting, there wasn't enough sex, and there wasn't
Wasn't
enough
enough
conflict.
joy.
I think because of those things, there wasn't enough conflict. And so yeah, we need something in there that's gonna spark things up, and I think the island could potentially do the island too. Maybe put them on Iceland. That's an island, or Greenland. That'd be even worse.
Oh, God. Now we have to revisit the question that I asked you last week.
Okay, what was that again?
It was to create a perfect seven
Okay,
girl.
perfect seven. Oh, this is just from the Battle of the X's season.
Yeah. Out of three parts of the girls on Battle of the Exes.
Okay, so I just have to pick three parts.
Yeah.
Okay.
And remember, it doesn't have to be physical.
Okay. I'm gonna go with Camilla's breasts.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with Cara Maria's personality. And I'm gonna go with Emily's legs and like her just overall body.
Body, both
Yeah.
Camilla's boobs. Okay. But wait, I'm gonna give you the option of one added person because whose face?
Whose face? I'm thinking Heather.
Heather, eh?
She's got this cute little.
She has a cute
She has
face.
a cute face. I don't know if it would work necessarily with Camilla's breast, because part of the cuteness is that she's so tiny. But yeah, I think I'll go with Heather for the face.
All right. I
What
got a
about
few
you? Do
more.
you have your boys?
Here's what I think. Abrams, like Abram physically, so just like Abram's shell of a
Yeah.
body with the face. Mark's personality
Okay.
and CT's voice. Actually, I would say like a kind of half Mark's personality, half CT's personality. So
Okay.
Mark, but a little bit more of like a dick and like
Yeah,
just like a bit more grumpy and quick to temper.
and Wes's red hair.
Yeah.
You
Let
do
me
like the
think of that on.
gingers?
'Cause Abram has a little bit, maybe I feel like he has a little bit of red in him. A
He might be
little.
a little ginger. He might be like a daywalker.
Oh
I'm surprised you didn't throw Lever's personality in there. I think.
God, I forgot. I was just thinking of the ending people.
And Dustin's porn abilities.
Yeah, Dustin's nothing about Dustin appeals to me, but yeah, Leroy definitely, you're right. Leroy truly in terms of personality, Leroy's personality.
In Vinny's stomach.
Ugh, gross.
Sorry,
Vinny's
that was mean.
disgusting.
And Ty's ability to charm women.
Yeah, so everyone, basically everyone. But yeah, this is the end, Matt.
This
What do
is
you have
the
to
end.
say?
Well, I'm excited. We had a decent season. I feel like I'm excited more people are interested in the challenge. So I think that's, I'm glad it's gonna, it feels like, there was a time where maybe it wasn't gonna keep going, but I feel like it's gonna go strong for a long time. So that is positive. Cautiously optimistic about Real World St. Thomas. I think that the location could be fun just because there's nothing else to do there but drink and swim and party. So that might, just bring up people's personality a little more than if they're stuck in a city. Maybe like sometimes they, maybe the problem with New Orleans is that they were, doing too much charity work. It sounds horrible, but
Cut it
like,
out. Cut out the volunteer charity work.
yeah, I mean, I guess, so.
It's true though. It's true. I just realized we didn't see a trailer.
No, we didn't. You know what? I'm just reading here. It looked like they just started filming in March, so
Oh,
they might
okay.
not have much. And it's not coming back till the summer. I don't know the, I'm gonna see if I can find the exact date, but they might not have had enough for the trailer, which is weird. You feel like they would have planned that a little better, because they always seem to do that. But
Okay, I have one more question for you.
okay.
Do you think there's a chance ever that they'll do the real world Toronto? Because they've brought the challenge to Vancouver.
Yes. They've brought the real world to various locations.
Including Australia, so they
Yeah.
didn't stay in the
They've
US.
done London and Paris.
They've done all the metro. They've done
Cancun.
Paris.
I think they did Paris way back in
Oh
the day.
yeah. They did Paris. Wasn't CT Paris?
I think he might have been, yeah.
And Adam, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they've done a bunch of places, but I think Toronto would be an interesting one for them because it's an underrated metropolis. I know I'm a little biased, but it does have more culture than people mess. People might think it's a little boring, but
Or Vancouver, like Vancouver as a real world.
I could see. I feel like they would do Vancouver over Toronto just
Me
because Vancouver
too.
has more buzz about it. It's gotten the Real World Housewives, Real Housewives of Vancouver, so it's. There's better visuals in that sense. Like there's, the mountains and they have the Olympics
More
and this,
activities to do and.
whereas Toronto would be like more clubbing,
Yeah.
which could be fun, but I don't know how, like the only problem with the clubbing thing is that they always seem to go back to the same two or three clubs that they have a deal with,
Yeah.
So it might not be as exciting as we would hope, but I would love it if they did that. I could see, I think the it'd be kind of fun if MTV Canada just said, "Hey, can we do a real
Real
world,
world,
a Canadian version, and do it in Toronto, and then get people from outside of Toronto, hopefully, because I think it's one of the problems with San Diego was having one San Diego person. That was stupid. But, you know, get like a Newfoundlander and get a, you know, somebody from Nunavut.
That's such a good idea.
I think that'd be fun. Like, and the funny thing is, I think it would actually, you know, like, they would probably not air too much in, probably wouldn't air in America, but I think if it did well, I think Americans would be entertained by it. And as long as they didn't go overboard with the Canadianizing it. And maybe they could produce a good challenge person. Like, you know, it'd be like, imagine if there was a Nunavut person on the, to anyone who's American, Nunavut is a territory in the northern part of Canada. Mm-hmm. Most of the people are Inuits, which is, I don't want to say Eskimo because that's not an appropriate term, but that most people probably know it as that. It's they're native. So I would just think that would be funny to watch an Inuit deal with the Iceland and just, you know, dominate that final challenge. You're like, you guys are whips. I go in this cold water every day of the week.
But I want to say, without blabbing on too much, that Canada did attempt a real world twice, okay, in the form of U8TV The Lofters. Do you remember it?
I vaguely remember that. I feel like that was almost more of a Big Brother, though, was it? Or
yeah, but it was that kind of, like, concept. It was just, like, a show where they lived in this apartment, and they had all these cameras on them, and you could follow them on your computer. Like, you could watch them just going about their day. It was really interesting in that way, like, I don't know why they don't do that much these days, is just having it 24-hour cameras where you can look
at it. And it did produce a TSN host.
Yeah, Jen. And
Jennifer Hedger.
There are a few people that went on, because the whole concept was all the people that were in there were journalism students. They wanted to, like, go on to reporting and stuff. So a lot of them did. A lot of drama happened between the people. Like, it was actually, I found it really, really entertaining. But I also, this concept of, like, you could log into your account, I guess, that you had, and you could watch them in the apartment. Isn't that weird? Like, it sounds like something that would be done these days. Anyways, but the other one was doing the Much Music VJ search. One spin around it was that they did, like, a reality show.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that was,
and it was pretty bad. So we never do it right. We never seem to, the Canadian TV producers never have to seem to have the production value to make.
I think it's also I think they're not as cutthroat.
Yeah, they're
like, I'm kind of curious to see how the Canadian Bachelor goes, because the stories I've read about the Bachelor is how they feed these women's drinks, because otherwise it would be boring.
Yeah, they do that on all of the reality
shows. Yeah, but I kind of wonder if the Canadian one's going to quite go to that length, where they're just... I have a feeling it's going to be boring, but... I think, you know, I would like to see a Real World Toronto just for my own sake, but I don't see it happening.
Okay, I keep thinking of questions, but I have to stop because we're going...
It's very long, yeah.
But... If there was a Real World Toronto,
yes,
you had the option of either being an advisor, like a main advisor to the show,
yeah,
being on the show.
I would be an advisor. I'd be horrible to be on the show. The funny thing is, like, even looking back, I don't think I would have ever been a good contestant participant. Like, even when I was in my 20s, I think I would have been like, I would have been too self-conscious of the TVs. Although I might have been entertaining for other people, because I probably would have gotten a lot of arguments with people, because I would have been the snarky smart aleck who would have just started fights with people because they were pissing me off. So maybe I would have been entertaining, but I would have hated it. I probably would have turned into a little bit Abram-esque in this season, where I just kind of, you know, I just got in arguments with people.
Yeah.
I could see that happening with me. What about you? Would you have
I would love to be an advisor. I agree. I would never have been a good contestant. Maybe when I was like 17 or 18 and I was just like totally nuts and had just moved to Toronto and was a little bit crazy. But even then, like, I like my space and I like being alone, and I've never been a big partier, and these people are just such heavy drinkers, and they go out and they seem to have endless energy. And that's one thing that I don't have. I feel like I would be the character that like sleeps a lot. And I, yeah, and now, no way. I mean, now that I'm 27 now and I'm really slowing down. Like my last night was Easter and my friends and I stayed in and painted Easter eggs. We painted Ukrainian eggs. So that's my idea of like a crazy night. And it was fun. So I'm not one to go out and get drunk. And because the morning after I sleep all day. So so definitely advisors. So out there, if there's anyone thinking of doing a Real World Toronto, Matt and I would love to be the advisors on it.
Yes, we'll tell you how to make it good.
Good. Yeah, exactly.
Because that's, you know, and then maybe we'll just take over the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. We should pitch this idea.
We should.
Over. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. If you did, and tweeting at us and joining us on Twitter and listening to us rant and blab about this show. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you have any feedback for us on how we can make this show interesting, or just any critiques you have so that we can, if we do this again, we can see if we can improve it for you all. But yeah, thanks for joining us on the ride.
And make sure to follow us at We Are Challenged. We may not be tweeting too much in the interim, but we will, if we are interested in if the Real World St. Thomas turns out to be interesting, we may get involved in that. Like maybe do a random podcast here or there about that. So, you know, keep following us so that if we, you know, for the updates on that, if we decide it's worth our while.
I mean, something we could do is, if people seem interested, is like you said, every so often, do a podcast about the Real World as a predictor of which contestants might be good for a challenge and that kind of a Bill Simmons-esque thing. or we could do a podcast on the Real World if it's starting to look really good. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll play it by ear. Yeah, but yeah, keep following us in case, you know, we'll make some announcements if it ever gets to the point we're going to start podcasting again. And we'll also make announcements when the challenge comes back, which I guess will be in several months. Yeah. I guess probably September, I'm thinking.
What the hell are we going to do in the meantime?
I don't know. We'll have to watch Bachelor Pad.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, Matt, you've been a fantastic co-host. And you I enjoyed this time.
I have too.
And yeah, we hope that we see you guys again. And I guess as usual, thanks for listening.